This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. B.J. Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. In case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. You can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wbuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the Crimson White app and just click on the 90.7 live streaming link. Also, if you have any ideas for our upcoming shows for the fall semester or even the spring semester, this is our first show back for the season. So I've got a lot of new ideas that we're going to be doing for the fall, but I would also love to hear from some of the listeners about topics. We're always asking for different topics. If you have any ideas, email those to me at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu, and of course I'll consider using your show topic idea. I'll try to remember to give this out. I always forget to give out our email, and Catherine, maybe if you can hold up a sign or help me remember, that will help me. Maybe we'll get some unique ideas. It's always good, you know, I always try to go back over some just basic show topics, like for instance, anxiety, test anxiety, social anxiety, depression, etc., at least once in each semester, because I feel like it never does get old talking about that. And there's always trends that are changing constantly with college mental health. So even if you think we've done the topic before, we can always do it again with a twist or with a different guest. So email those. It's brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. Tonight, since it's our first show, I thought we needed to have a show for maybe students who are having some difficulty acclimating to campus. Maybe they're freshmen who are listening, or maybe even transfer students. I see this a lot more with transfer students, adjustment issues, and asking me how to get involved at UA. So that's what I've titled the show tonight. And I did a little bit of research before the show. I always do, so I at least feel like I know what I'm talking about, even when I don't sometimes. But from a recent article that I read earlier today, the effectiveness of any educational policy or practice is directly related to the capacity of that policy or practice to increase student involvement. And I know that's a very wordy statement, but in simple terms, it just means that in order to promote what we're trying to do here at Alabama, it all depends on how involved students are, no matter what year they are, is the way I take that. My guest tonight is Jonathan Adams. He's the director of the Office of Student Involvement. If you're listening and didn't realize we have that office, it is fantastic to get started there if you don't know where to start. But a lot of students, really, they don't know where to start. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight with Jonathan. Thanks for being on the show, Jonathan.
My pleasure. I'm really excited to be here.
We were talking before the show started. Jonathan's only been in this position for not even a month, I don't think you said, but you're an alum. So you're very familiar with Alabama. Roll Tide.
I am. Roll Tide 100%.
Talk to us a little bit. First of all, tell us about your credentials. I mentioned you're an alum, but tell us a little bit about yourself, your credentials, why you're interested in this topic. It's kind of obvious, but a little more details.
Absolutely. So, you know, like you mentioned, I am an alum of the Capstone. I did my undergrad and master's here, and was actually involved as an undergrad. So I have been where many of our students students are and really trying to figure out where my passion areas are. Coming from a very small town in rural Alabama to a very large campus, you know, found involvement as a way to become connected and actually found my career path through my involvement here at the university. Did my master's here and then have worked in a variety of functional areas related to housing, student conduct, student care and well-being, but decided it was time to come home first and foremost, but also really understanding what the importance of involvement is to a student, both during their time at a university or college, but also beyond. You know, we know they're involved while they're here, but the skills they are gaining while they're involved are going to pay dividends in the next steps of their life, whether it's graduate school, whether it is the workforce. It's going to pay dividends. And so really, I want to help students experience what I experienced and come full circle, find their passion areas, and utilize those passion areas to ultimately help our community.
You know, and I'm glad you said that and gave a little bit of your background, because I think it's very important for students to be able to reach out to somebody like you who's over this department now, but has also lived it and can give advice on how you felt and, you know, the reasons you did get involved or some bad things that's happened. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I've had students who have attempted to get involved and, you know, it just didn't go well. Like they just didn't find their niche, right? So some of those students will just give up and be like, I'm not going back to that group. I'm not going to another group. And I think you would be a perfect person to talk to about not giving up and considering other options. There's so many, and we're going to talk about the many options. Like I'm just shocked at how many organizations we have now on campus, voluntarily and just social organizations. Absolutely. Too, you know, it's just cool. Talk a little bit about the goal and the mission in working with students.
Absolutely. You know, I think what we want to do at the end of the day, and I could give you a beautiful mission statement with a bunch of words that have meaning, but I think for me in our office, it really is helping students find their passion, helping students connect to the university and other university community members, and fostering that growth and development, whether that is internal skills, external skills, those transferable skills, really helping students find their story and create their story and create their narrative through the passions and the opportunities that are afforded to them.
I think, you know, from my standpoint, I see a lot of students who come in with social anxiety. And so their fear, it's like they know they really need to be getting out and meeting people and resume building and all that good stuff, but they're terrified of mingling, or they just come from a place, maybe like you, from a very small town where they feel like they don't have the social skills, or they're competing with other students who have better social skills. And that is very, very hard to convince somebody to try to go to Get On Board Day, or try to call your office, or try to contact the source. You know, how do you encourage, what would you say to those students who are really scared of getting involved, but they know they should?
You know, I think the first thing is, you know, really finding out what is your comfort level and what is the best environment you want to take that step in. Because I agree, Get On Board Day is a great opportunity to get a wide perspective on the over 600 student organizations we have on campus.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It can be overwhelming, particularly when you don't know you know, or you have 900 passions. So I think yes. It's making it manageable. And I think for those students who aren't ready, aren't comfortable in that mingling, one of the great programs we have in our office is called our Involvement Geniuses. And those are students who are trained in talking to their fellow students one-on-one, identifying those passion areas, and then connecting them to the student organization that may be a great fit for them. I think for students who kind of struggle with that, I don't want to go into a meeting cold and, you know, don't really know anybody. I think the Involvement Genius is a great first step. To just have a one-on-one conversation. Staff members in our office can also do that. Now, I know calling a university administrator sometimes feels like, okay, that's a little much.
Intimidating.
But that's what we're here for, you know, and I don't want students' first interactions with our office to be a negative. So, you know, just reaching out, even if it's just an email, to say, hey, could we chat? It doesn't have to be in the office. We can go grab coffee. We can go sit out, you know, in the plaza by the curb. We can make it as comfortable as possible for any student because we want them to get involved and we want them to find that right path in their comfort level.
Are the Involvement Geniuses, I like that. Are they the first line of defense, basically? If a student, if I have a student in my office and I recommend or I suggest they contact the Office of Student Involvement, is that going to be the first person they kind of talk to kind of give them some ideas?
Yeah, it could be. It could be, you know, one of our Involvement Geniuses. It could be, you know, a staff member in our office. A lot of times it just depends on availability. You know,
we're
working around schedules. But if a student was like, I'd rather talk to a fellow student than a staff member, just let the person who answers the phone or you email say, hey, I'd really like to talk to one of the students. We wouldn't find that offensive or anything. I mean, that's okay. Yeah. Because ultimately, we all have the same goal we're working towards. Who they meet with isn't as much of a concern as it is getting them to that end goal.
You touched a little bit about the value of student engagement, involvement, you know, for an undergrad especially. Mm-hmm. And I've got a little more ideas about that, a little more specifics from one of the articles I read that's different from the one I used in the intro, but I want to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, let's pick up on that topic. And then I also want to get to why it's important to be involved on campus too, okay? So just hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and if you have any ideas for upcoming shows or you have questions for myself or my guests tonight, you can email those at brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. I almost forgot the email for a minute. This is our first show back, and I'm a little rusty, y'all, so hang tight. We've got our show tonight. We're talking about how to get involved at UA, and we have the very new director, Jonathan Adams, is on with us. But Jonathan is very familiar with this campus. He got his undergrad and his master's here. So I feel like you feel very comfortable directing and guiding students in this area. When we left off before the break, we were talking about engagement and why is student engagement, student involvement so important?
You know, I think I look at it from two major fronts. One is it really allows a student to take what they're learning in the classroom and apply it. You know, when we're in the classroom, we're talking a lot of theory. We're talking about, you know, very abstract concepts. An involvement opportunity allows you to take what you've discussed in the classroom and see it in the quote unquote real world.
Yes.
And be able to use those skills, transform those skills and hone those skills. I think the other piece, and I've really seen an uptick in this because of the pandemic, is the notion of connectedness.
Yes.
And sense of belonging. You know, we know recently the university announced our enrollment numbers for fall 2021, which when I was a freshman in 2000, we were about 19,000, 19,500. Very different now. So I think students who come in, campus can feel very big and very large, and they can, you know, feel sometimes like they're lost. And particularly with a pandemic, this notion of isolation, you know,
yes,
that separation, involvement allows you to find and connect to students who have similar interests, similar passions, similar hobbies, and really create a community within a community, which is going to help you feel more a stronger sense of belonging to the university. And then we know from a data perspective, then means that students are going to persist and ultimately graduate. Those three areas tie together.
Yes,
and
so
I think
it helps.
Involvement really helps in that sense of belonging.
It helps with retention.
Absolutely.
That's what you're basically saying. Yeah, I tell students a lot of times, maybe Catherine's heard me say this, I feel like we're just all in a big cruise ship. You know, because even though we have grown and we're huge now, you still feel like a closeness, I think, because we're all squished in on this campus together, you know, and it is like a big cruise ship. The article that I mentioned before the break that I read, definitely one of the categories is feeling part of a community like you're talking about. I think for me as a counselor, when I make a suggestion to get involved, there's a couple of factors I'm thinking of too, and it's mentioned in this article. Number one is for people to make friends, to mm-hmm. be able to more easily make friends, but also to expand interest. And I think another big, and you can talk about this in just a minute, but also another big factor is a lot of these organizations, a lot of these activities are free. And for students who are struggling financially, this is another great way to feel connected, like you said, get involved, and it doesn't put a strain on your pocketbook.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, majority of our organizations cost nothing to participate.
Yes.
You know, some do if they have travel, etc. But the nice thing is we have relationships with SGA who can provide funding to organizations
yeah.
to help offset some of those yeah. opportunities. And so really it will lessen the impact on the students, you know, expenses and being involved. If it's a conference or an opportunity to submit you know, a presentation, et cetera. But, you know, I think for me, going back to what you're saying about that sense of making friends, something that is so important to me is a student's story. Where do they come from? What have they experienced? And I think being involved allows you to either solidify who you are or maybe, you know, gives you an opportunity to think through, okay, this is how I grew up, but now I'm trying to learn more about me and how I can tell my story. And so it allows students to explore kind of their thought processes, sometimes their beliefs or their philosophies, which we know college is a great place to be able to do that.
Yep. Yeah. The big thing, I think you touched a little bit on this, and I mentioned resume building. You know, absolutely. I hear a lot of students, and I don't know how to ask this. I hear a lot of students talking about feeling the pressure to get more involved because they have plans to go to either graduate school, medical school, law school, et cetera. And they feel that pressure to get involved with so much else to put on their resume. That is worrisome sometimes to me because I don't want that to be their only goal. I don't want that to be their motivation. What would you say to a student who tells you that? You know, I need something to go on my resume.
Right. You know, I think what I would tell a student is your resume is important, but you've got to be able to back up what's on your resume. And if you can't speak to the bullet points, you can't articulate, okay, yeah, I was involved in this, but this is what I did. This is what I learned. This, you know, were activities I was involved in. Then it's just bullet points on a piece
of
paper.
That's right.
I think the other piece, and I'll share a personal story for this. You know, I was really involved as a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior years. I said, okay, let me prioritize a little bit. Let me kind of pare down because I'd rather give 100% to a couple of organizations than 50% to a lot of organizations.
Right. Right.
But what I learned from that was I let my involvement take priority sometimes over why I was really here, which was academics. And so that gave me an opportunity to learn and now share with students of involvement's important. Involvement can complement your academic career. But at the end of the day, you know, academics has got to be a priority.
Yes.
And the rest of this is that holistic piece. But if you're not doing well in the classroom, then you really can't be involved because you won't be a student here because of the GPA. And so, you know, for me, it's not just being able to speak to it, but it shows priorities. And for you to be able to say, I was able to prioritize to what's important. This is how I'm going to apply that in the workforce or in grad school, law school, med school.
That's right. And, you know, I think if you are an employer, when you're interviewing somebody for a position, I think you'd be able to tell whether or not they just put it on their resume or whether or not they actually were involved. Just absolutely. By the questions you ask, you know, you ask. So, yes, time management and prioritizing have to be right up there, you know. But more times than not, I see more students that it's just so hard to get them to take that first step to, like, contact your office. I think it's easier for students nowadays to email, like you said. So I think that's the approach I'm going to take from now on is like just email them. You can at least do that if you're not willing to go to get on board day, et cetera, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the great thing about get on board day, for example, is we have one in the fall as well as one in the spring.
Yes.
And so if students are like, the fall was overwhelming, spring is a little smaller, it's a little more intimate, maybe that's the best time for them. We know all of our first year, or the vast majority of first years live on campus, talking to your RA. Because I think, you know, a lot of times for students, that first step, but it's also easier when I'm talking to a peer that it is a university administrator.
Oh,
so maybe finding those peers, those connections, or doing it as a group. Maybe you and your suite. Okay, let's all go to this meeting together just to see. You know,
find that would be good.
That community within the community within the community.
What are you? We mentioned get on board day. We've mentioned the source. Can you give the department, the sub-departments within your department and what they do?
Absolutely. So, you know, with student involvement, we have 3 to 4 areas. One, of course, is our involvement geniuses. which we've talked about. Get On Board Day is a program that's kind of an all hands on deck.
Yeah.
The Source, which is kind of our student board, really does a lot to provide support to student organizations, but by extension also helps them with those member recruitment opportunities. How do they connect to members, potential members? And then we have some other services within our office that really provide support to student organizations. I would say to those potential members, Get On Board Day, Involvement Geniuses are two of the great, you know, opportunities we have. But any of us kind of, you know, we are cross-trained, so we can do a little bit of everything.
Is the Source student run, or is it an opportunity for a student to get involved with leadership?
It is our student team that really serves as advocate for organizations, but there are leadership opportunities there. You know, typically, and of course, we are with the pandemic, and also we have some vacancies. So we're kind of managing at the moment, like a lot of our students do, just trying to manage. You know, we typically, they'll have committees. So that's a great first step for people to get involved in. Like, I'm not ready to be a leader, but I just want to kind of stick my feet, you know, toes in the water.
That's right.
A little bit.
That's right. And I think that's
a great opportunity.
We're going to take another quick break right now, Jonathan. But when we come back, I've got a couple of things I want to talk about. You mentioned retention. I want to talk about if you know anything more specific about statistics, and you may not, with regards to student involvement and graduation rates. So hang on just another minute. We're going to take another quick break before we wrap it up and close the show. So hang on. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
You're back listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. And if you want to email us any questions or ideas for upcoming shows, our email is brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. Tonight, we're talking with Jonathan Adams, who's the director of the Office of Student Involvement here on the campus of the University of Alabama. And we're talking about how to get involved at UA. And me as a counselor, I mean, I see a lot of, not a lot, but a few incoming freshmen and transfer students who, this is probably one of the first things they'll ask me, is I don't know how to get involved. And I know you guys do a great job of marketing the Office of Student Involvement. So in my mind, I'm like, you know how to get involved. But I think some of these kids really, they're not paying attention, or they're scared, or they're just really shy. So when we left off, we were talking about leadership, and I wanted to ask a little bit more about developing student leaders. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity within your office, but also within the organization. 600 organizations, I mean, that's grown. That's almost overwhelming, like you said, to make a decision about what you want to, you know, pursue. What about the rates for graduation for students who are more involved? Is it higher?
You know, I haven't been able to dig deep into the institutional data. I know nationally we do see a connection between involvement and engagement And retention and graduation. And that is, you know, on a variety of fronts, involvement opportunities, weeks of welcome and campus programming, students who are involved in those engagement opportunities statistically are more likely to be retained and to graduate. We know that's national data. You know, I think there's some, I haven't dug deep as I mentioned, but I think there's some also some opportunity for us to further explore that and really see what is the actual quantifiable connection between involvement and graduation.
Well, and I know you're still new in your position, and I don't know if it's been happening this way or if you have plans to create something that will tell you when a student is about to graduate, maybe in their last semester, can they give, you know, a level of satisfaction with the college experience? You know, are they asked that? Are they asked specifics about student, the Office of Student Involvement? In other words, has the, you know, have you been involved on campus, and how has that made your career here at Alabama better or worse?
Yeah, I don't know if we drill down institutionally into the, you know, student involvement. I believe, like most institutions, you know, there is a national assessment we do with first years and seniors. You know, I think NESE is the abbreviation. It's the Student Engagement Survey, which is national data. And I know we get a report from that. And that's where a lot of times that data is coming from institutionally and nationally, is some of those very empirically based surveys that are out there. I don't know if it drills down to the office as more as just a broader involvement.
With regards to, you know, I just talked about students I've seen who don't know how to get involved, as opposed to there are some kids who come in here and they're already involved, like before. How do you do that? Like, what are some ways for students to get involved even before they arrive on campus?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think some of that is through some of our Greek letter organizations. You know, those are connection points. You know, I would say for any student, one of the best things to do over the summer, because there's a lot of information that comes to students during orientation and, you know, during the summer months, it can be overwhelming, is, but I would tell any student, go ahead and go to our website, which is, studentinvolvement.ua.edu, thesource.ua.edu, but both of those places will link to our student organization directory, which lists all the organizations on campus, and you can break them down by categories. So if you're really interested in advocacy, you can just look at the advocacy organizations. Okay. And so I think going back to that initial question about, you know, students who maybe don't want to have that meeting yet, that could just be a way to go through our directory and see what's out there. You know, the other nice thing is students meet people at orientation. I know my nephew started this year social media. A lot of students are connecting on social media before the semester starts. If you can't find an organization that meets your interest, you could start one. Okay. You know, and that's a process that we help students with all the time, where it's, you know, I have this unique passion area. I want to start an organization. I have found 8 or 10 people who are interested with me. Okay, let's make that happen.
What on that topic, what are some of the benefits for registering your organization? Are there any?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the biggest things for our organizations through registration is access to university facilities at a free or largely discounted rate.
Wow. Okay.
Access to university resources like MySource, which is kind of our online directory organization management system. use of, with appropriate approval, some of the trademark licensing pieces that are out there, event registration. I mean, it is very much to an organization's benefit to be involved. Access, as I mentioned before, to financial affairs, so funds. Student funds to manage finances for the organization.
What about marketing? Do y'all do any marketing, or are they responsible for their own individual organization's marketing?
Well, I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. We have a director of creative consulting as part of the source that can work with student organizations to develop marketing plans, marketing ideas, maybe can help a little bit with graphic design. We also have, and this plays into marketing as well, the trunk. And the trunk is a space where we can check out commonly used items to student organizations.
Oh, okay.
Copiers, different like ice chests. Once we get through the pandemic, we have a snow cone machine, popcorn machine, cotton, you know, so that's
another option. Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's really good, because those things cost. Next question, Jonathan. Can you list some of the registered organizations on campus right now? I know there's 600, so I'm not even asking that, but
absolutely.
Some of the top ones.
So, you know, what I'm going to do is we sit here, I'm actually going to pull up our organization directory.
Okay.
And I'm just going to pick a random.
Do you have access? Do you know how many members are in each organization?
We have internal access to that. I don't think that will show on the kind of front-facing side, but you know, that's a data point that I definitely want to pull. It's not only how many members, but how many unique members do we have involved in the organization?
Yes.
So I'm just pulled arts and entertainment. This is a random category. You know, what I'm seeing here is we have a gaming organization.
I bet that's popular.
Yep. The Afro-American Gospel Choir, which has, you know, been here for ever, and does a phenomenal job. We have a group that is built around the skills of spinning color guard equipment, an anime and manga association.
Oh, yeah.
Esports,
I bet that's what
you do,
yeah.
Japanese, anime, manga, Japanese culture. And I'm going to just, for the sake.
How do I say this? Are the organizations that are associated with majors, are they required to register under your office too? Like, for instance, engineering, or I don't know, accountant, you know, those organizations, the professional organizations.
I am sure vast majority are registered. I wouldn't say there's a requirement. You know, but we do have an academic category, academic engineering. And just to give you a quick glance, I see Alabama Astrobotics, ChemiCar, Concrete Institute.
Oh, wow.
Institute of Chemical Engineers, Concrete Canoe Team, Bama
Racing. That just doesn't seem to go together. Concrete Canoe Team, my goodness. You know I'm thinking it's going to sink. How's that going to work? I think with the students that I mentioned that I have seen who have some anxiety, I think they're more apt to join those organizations that have to do with their major, because I think they feel a little more comfortable. Maybe they've met some people in their class, you know, and they might be more apt to join something like that before they would just a hobby.
Yeah, I mean, and we also see a lot of groups, you know, going around that academic in our professional or law category. Alpha Kappa Psi, which is a co-ed professional business fraternity, you know, so it's once again, sometimes it's just you got to go to the website and just peruse. Really? And, you know, students are like, listen, even the categories are overwhelming. That's what we're here for.
Yes.
You know, and we have some tools that we can use in our office to really help a student kind of identify
and narrow it down.
Passion areas to begin with. And then just kind of narrow it down.
What would you tell a student who has gone to an organization and didn't like it or didn't fit in and is afraid to try another one?
Ooh.
I know.
Well, I think the first thing I would want to really explore with that student is what was it about that experience that made you uncomfortable? Because it may be people-based, you know, just it was really not an open environment.
Yeah.
It may just be, you know what, I thought it was this, but when I got in there, it really didn't match what I thought it was.
Yeah, and so, I hear a lot of that.
Yeah, and so that's not really an involvement issue. That's just, okay, sometimes it's
personality.
You know this, that sometimes when you're trying to find that provider, it's the first time, the same thing with a doctor, may not be the best fit. Sometimes you just got to find that fit.
Niche. Yeah. What do you think, you know, we mentioned how much our campus has grown. How does campus size affect student involvement? Does it?
I think it does. I think it does in the sense of, if nothing else, just sheer number. You know, I talked about earlier, my first year, there were 19,000 students. I think we had about 200 to 250 student organizations. Now we're at 600 plus. So I think it's the more people you have, the more passion areas you have. So you're going to see a diversity in perspectives, which I think at the end of the day is a good thing, to be able to really have a wider menu, if you will, to choose from. So I do think it has an impact there. I think campus size on the, you know, kind of the opportunity area, it can become very easy to feel lost. I don't want to say that you are lost, but to feel lost, particularly when you have that many organizations.
Yes.
So I think that's where we as staff members have to be very intentional in making it manageable.
Yeah, I agree. It's we keep saying it's overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. And if you've got tools that can help students, I'm glad to know that, because when I refer students to your office, I can be able to tell them not only about the involvement geniuses, but also they're going to have tools that can help you narrow this down. Like, I know, you know, I've only had a few students, I'll be honest, who really don't know what their interests are. But most people know what they like and what they don't like. You know, if they don't like anime, that's just obvious. If they do love gaming, that's just obvious.
Right.
So, you know, I bet you don't have a beekeeping association, do you?
It would not
because if you do, I want to be the staff mentor. I've been doing that now going on 6 years, and that's my thing. So. Maybe we need that.
I will tell you, we have a bee club that works to promote pollinators.
Hello. That's close enough. I'll have to research that a little bit. I've been trying to talk to people, the powers that who are around here, about putting beehives on our campus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over on the Bryce property area would be absolutely gorgeous. And now I'm going off on a tangent, but I can't help it. When it comes to bees, I just love talking about them. But
I think you bring up a good point. You know, when we talk about the directory, it also provides the mission statement of the organization.
Okay, so there you go.
You can even dig a little deeper in, okay, the name, but what do they say they're going to do? What do they say their purpose is? And so that's another great way to really kind of dig a little deeper into
Definitely. What
is this organization about.
Definitely. I'm joking, but I'm serious. I would love to be a mentor for one of these groups. I guess that's what you call them, an advisor even. But how much does the faculty and or staff help students get involved?
Absolutely. You know, I think faculty and staff are a huge piece in that they kind of reinforce the message that we've been talking about of the value of being involved. I think the other piece is, as you were talking about with the B Club, every organization has an advisor
okay.
who is there as a support system. You know, and those range. Sometimes the advisors are more hands off, other times they're a little more hands on, but they're really there as a connection and kind of that mentor or that, you know, person who, particularly for our professional organizations, may be in the field academically and can yes. kind of connect into those networking opportunities, et cetera.
That's right. And you never know when you might need a recommendation letter, a referral letter. And if you get to know that faculty or staff person, there you're going to have, you know, a good person that will be able to recommend you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have any more resources that you want listeners to know about besides the website that's give them the website again, but also any more resources like any apps that might be helpful, any books that might be helpful, websites that might be helpful?
Sure. You know, I would say probably the two biggest are going to be, and they're tied together.
No pun intended.
Yeah. The first is mysource.ua.edu. That is our organization directory. Tied to that is what we call the CORK app, C-O-R-Q. And it is a mobile app that has a directory in an app form, but both of those, another great connection point, have events. They will show the organizational events if they submit them. So it's not just, okay, here's a directory. You can see what these organizations are doing. What kind of programs do they have? We will, over the next year, be incorporating the Division of Student Life events into MySource. So that'll be another way for students to connect to programs and opportunities being provided by the Division of Student Life. And so MySource is a great resource for events, everything that's happening with organizations and involvement. It's going to be that one-stop shop.
There's really no excuse at this point unless you just don't want to be involved. But if you want to be involved, there's just no excuse to not being able to find something
right.
that piques your interest. I'm interested in the app. Did you say C-O-R-Q?
Q.
CORK. Mm-hmm. What does it do you have to put in University of Alabama? Is that like a national app or is it just in specific to our university?
It is a national app, so it will ask you to select kind of your institution
okay.
and then, you know, it'll tie to your MyBama credentials, you know, all of the back
okay,
end
good.
IT pieces. A lot of our first year students have probably already been using it as part of our event pass system. So if they went to week of welcome events, they were scanning their QR code. It is all tied together.
Wow.
Kind of behind.
I'm a little behind on this. I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know about this.
Yes. So it's a great tool.
That's cool. That's easy. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for being on the show. This is a great first show. I think it lays the foundation for students who want to get involved and are a little bit, you know, timid about getting involved. And hopefully your guidance in this area is going to just expand. I know it will. It'll just make this office so much better. I'm glad you're back.
I am glad to be back.
Thank you. And let me make a few announcements before we go. I always like to announce that you can listen to our shows. They're podcasted and recorded, and you can listen to them on the UA. It's actually voices.ua.edu website, or you can listen on audioboom.com. Some of our past shows are on there. We've been doing shows since 2013, so we've probably got maybe 200 shows, almost 200 shows, I would guess. But you can also go to our website, counseling.ua.edu, and we're now on Apple Podcasts. So a few of our shows, I think all of our shows from last year, 2020, and spring of 2021, are on the Apple Podcast. So hopefully we'll get this show up on that podcast too. It's so much more accessible than a lot of the other outlets. So if you are interested in listening, take a listen. And also don't forget that we're on the Crimson White app too. I like to make this announcement at the beginning of the year about the Counseling Center offering QPR training upon request. QPR stands for question, persuade, and refer. Three steps anyone can learn to help prevent suicide. Do your part and in 2 short hours, learn the warning signs for suicide and 3 simple skills of how to intervene and save someone's life who's suicidal. To sign up for free QPR gatekeeper training for suicide prevention for your department or individually, or if you have questions about QPR, just contact us here at the Counseling Center at 205-348-3863. And remember, just like CPR, QPR is an emergency response to someone in crisis, and it can save lives. I always like to thank the people who've made the show possible. For one, our executive director of the Counseling Center, Dr. Greg Vanderwall, Terry Siggers from the Office of Student Media, my production assistant, of course, is Catherine Howell, my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff, and my guest tonight, Jonathan Adams. Next week, our show is going to be interesting. I don't think we've had a show about shyness, but that's what it's going to be on. Shyness, or is it social anxiety? So join us next week at the same time, and thanks again for listening. You've been listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. Good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you're in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.